What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
At Kroger, we know the minute a tomato is picked off the vine, the fresh timer starts. The sooner we get our produce to you, the fresher it is. That's why we've completely overhauled our process to shorten the time from harvest to home for our tomatoes, strawberries, and salads. Because we know how much you love fresh produce, we give you more time to enjoy your tasty fruits and veggies at home. So whether you're shopping in-store, picking up, or prefer delivery, we're committed to bringing you the freshest produce possible. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Forever Dog.
I remember when I was younger, there was a girl in my church who was obsessed with Aaliyah. Would come in with like the one eye cover with her hair just like Aaliyah, and I think we had youth church or whatever, so like it was all the teenagers in one church, and like in the middle of it she just started crying, and we're like, what's going on? And she's like, you guys didn't know Aaliyah died this morning. And I was like, oh, what? And it changed the whole vibe of the day. Oh my goodness.
Ooh. Yeah, it still hurts me. Like, it hits me hard. She's my inspiration, period. Like, I just loved every bit of her. Yeah,
I mean, her style. Oh, crazy.
I feel like I read the wiki of the accident. I read it every couple of years, and I'm reading it, going, oh, I just could things have been different. Like, the most frustrating thing to just all of the different times where you're like, oh man, she left. Or she was leaving a day early, and it's a different plane, and all of the stuff.
Yeah.
That stuff is scary, because I always think about what happens, because like in the after effect, we are thinking like, oh my God, this must be terrible. But every time I fly, I can't imagine that. So I can't imagine what those moments were like. That is just the scariest thought in the world. It's like, what were your moments like?
The literal year before the accident, it was the first time I had ever flown a plane, and my uncle, my uncle and my parents like took us and our cousins to the Bahamas. It was the first time we ever left the country. It's the first time I ever was on a plane. And we went, you know, and it was like one flight to Florida, and then you take like a smaller plane to the Bahamas. And the smaller plane is like, you know, it only seats like whatever, maybe 20, 30 people or something like that. And like, I just remember we flew through these like really dark storm clouds, and I saw lightning strike like outside of the window of the plane, and the plane was rattling as we were going through these storm clouds, and I was like so scared. And then I remember just like I don't know why I but like when that ha- when Aaliyah died, I was like, oh my God, that could have been us. Like, it was so close. I know that there's more to it, but
no, that's real. Stuff like that is shaped your life. Like I stopped, which is crazy. When Speed came out, I stopped going on elevators.
No.
Right? Like, no. When Aaliyah passed away, I stopped doing planes. I went on a plane to Africa, and they hit a storm, and this plane was supposed to be cool. So they had a camera on the nose of the plane so you could see what was in front of you. When they hit a storm, the guy was like, we have to get above it, and his exact words, we got to ride the storm. And I was like, I don't like the way this sounds. So we go, so we feel the plane kind of go straight up vertically. So we just, it is the most terrifying thing of all time. And there's nothing you can do. I was like, I don't need this. I'm going to drive. I will drive cross country. I'll take a boat somewhere with a vest. I don't need distress.
Yeah, I normally drive everywhere too, you know. Oh, you hear it in all of my interviews. I always mention I just travel, like I drive everywhere. Of course, I do planes occasionally, but Planes give me anxiety. It's not because of the plane flying itself. It's because when you get there, you know, I've done all this work to look beautiful, and then I got to take it all off just to go through security. And I'm sitting next to somebody I don't know, and then I don't have control of when I want to come back home. I have to wait on that next flight. So that's a problem to me, too. So I just drive.
I mean, I drove.
Also, you got to take your shoes off.
Yeah, well, I don't like
if you got pre-check, you don't got to take your shoes or your belt off.
But not everybody has.
I'm just saying, if you got the pre-check, you ain't got to take your shoes. Listen, there is nothing worse than taking off your shoes. I don't know why, but it feels so disrespectful. It's like, you don't know what kind of socks I got on. Like, I could have just rushed out the house.
And you have to step in line with everybody else who also took their shoes.
Yeah, it's too much.
I started wearing flip-flops. To the airport, and I'm like, this is what you get. I don't want to be a stereotype, but I got on slides right now. It's easy to get on and off. It's comfortable. Like, I took an Uber here. We're dealing with it.
Dude. It's too much. I don't like it.
Yeah, and the other part of this, of course, is just like the remember. Yeah, I didn't say it, but Chadwick Boseman has just passed away from colon cancer, and it's like. These, I don't know, there's something about certain celebrities' deaths that like really kind of rock your world a bit. And it was so interesting watching because Aaliyah, I think, meant so much to, like Maya said, like to so many people. And when someone who means that much to people dies, like what feels really like way before their time, I don't know, it's insane. Yeah.
I mean, like, you're especially rocked when they're young and, you know, and it's cause you're not, you know, you feel like, you know, youth they're going to live forever, you know, or like, you know, it's always such a shock. It's not like, it's not something that's like in your, you're not thinking that that's going to happen. And this movie was her first, film role, you know, it was like a big like thing, and I think it was like shortly after this that it even happened. So it was such.
She was supposed to be in The Matrix. Like she had.
That's right. That's right.
She was Jada's part in The Matrix, and it was like a 1-2 hit. It was like her, and I can't remember the order, but it was like her and Left Eye, and I was like, "What is happening? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what is actually happening? Because my gosh, yo."
She was doing a lot. She really was. Because she had did that second album. Then she did Romeo Must Die. And she was working on the third album at the same time. Then filmed Queen of the Damned.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And and was filming what's the More Than a Woman video. Then was going back to go do Rock the Boat. And then had to go back. It was just too much. Like, I was like, when does she have time to sleep?
Right. It's funny even talking about. It's funny even hearing that. Like, I was looking up Jet Li before this, and people were kind of talking about how he vanished. And it was just like, he's like, don't give up your life for a business that would trade you in, or something like that along the lines. So just even hearing how we're saying Aaliyah did so much, and even thinking about in our personal lives, we're probably doing so much stuff for the business. And just to hear Jet Li be like, look, man, I'm chilling. I'm old. Like, I've given my life for this. You know what I mean?
I'm chilling. I'm old.
Like, I've done my part. And that's just something I try to think about. It's like, yeah, man, like, there's so many times where, like, you exhaust yourself thinking this is going to be the thing you got to do. You miss a birthday party or a cookout, and next thing you know, you never get that back for something that probably didn't matter that much at the end of the day. Yeah.
I mean, when young people, I don't know. It's a tale as old as time, you know? Juliet and Romeo must die.
I think that she's the prettiest woman to ever exist. Just the design of her face and then long, beautiful hair. She's just stunning. And like, she was sexy, but she wasn't like overly sexy. Like, she didn't really go out of her way to be sexy. She just was sexy. And elegant.
Yes. I agree with you so much. And what I love too is that you brought up how wonderful Aaliyah was. while we got to ignore Jonathan's, he does like a very corny segue. And like,
what do you mean?
It was so, yeah, so it was wonderful
sincerely
that it just effortless. I hope everyone does this when they become a guest. They're like, hey, let's just ignore that, but just talk about something beautiful. In the world. Talking about? I feel so happy. I feel relieved as a matter of fact.
No, Mayo is, yeah, absolutely speaking about how incredibly just the beautifulness of Aaliyah, both externally and internally. And I was just commenting on the tragedy, you know, of
we get it.
Juliet and Romeo Must Die.
Why do you throw in Juliet? Because that's not the title of the movie. There's no Juliet in the title of the movie.
No, I'm talking about the Shakespeare story of Juliet and Romeo Must Die. Okay, I think this has got off long enough. Let's start the show.
I don't know a lot about Juliet and Romeo Must Die, but I do know about Han and Trish.
Oh. Yes, thank you. Big thank you.
Yes, there you go.
Let's start the show.
Jonathan Raylock,
James the Third,
Drum Milligan. What more can I say? You know what it is.
Black men can jump.
Black actors, all right.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Quarantine City.
It's been a long time. I should have left you. But now I don't beat the step.
Why do you sound like that?
Thank you, Maya.
I wanted to help you, but that wasn't honestly sound like Timbaland at all.
It's been a long time. It should have left.
Why do you sound so creepy?
Everyone at home is like, oh snap, is Timbaland in the studio?
No, see? No one thought that.
I was about to bust out of the song.
Thank you. Maya, thank you.
Yes. Real quick for the people who don't know or are listening for the first time, my name is Jonathan Braylock.
I'm Dry Milligan.
And I'm James the Third.
James gets real happy when he says his name. It's cute, honestly.
Thank you.
But we have an incredibly special guest with us in the quarantine studio today. You know her from Amazing Roles in Tangerine and, of course, the upcoming film Stage Mother, which is going to be released, it looks like, August 21st. Is that correct? Yeah, I think so. Who knows? Because we don't know. Like, only half the country can see movies now, but that's all right. But guys, the incredibly talented actor and singer Maya Taylor is here, everyone. Maya, thank you so much for coming. Applause.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, this is wonderful.
And today, we are going to be talking about the film Romeo Must Die. We talk about films leading Black actors in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. And this one, of course, as we kind of are already talking about, stars the actress and singer Aaliyah, as well as Jet Li. Isaiah Washington is in this. Delroy Lindo. Russell Wong, and this film came out in 2000. Like, it was one of those, you know, the new millennium film. Yeah,
John, I'm sorry, you forgot probably the most important actor in the movie.
Mr. I'm sorry.
DMX, baby. I thought James was going to do a DMX.
DMX, wow.
Did you just raise your hand?
The most important actor in the movie?
Well, I'll say this. He got the wit. It was like, with DMX. And I was like,
it was his first
really?
Part. It was his first part. Listen, he was all on that soundtrack, baby. You know what I'm saying?
That's
with
true.
DMX?
Come on. He owned the club.
He did.
His music was all over this. And honestly, I was here for it. When this movie came out, I was like, oh!
It was hype. It came out 20 years ago, yo.
Don't, you ain't got to say the number.
March 22nd, 2000.
You ain't have to say the number of years.
2000, like James.
Okay, you don't have to hit it like that.
Ooh, 2000.
Oh my God, that was a long time ago.
I know. It's insane. Yeah, this film, let me see. Sorry, real quick. I think Wikipedia is saying that its budget was $25 million. It made $91 million at the box office worldwide. Yeah, so that's pretty freaking good, I would say, especially for like a rated R film.
Wait, is this one of those New Line Cinema movies? Like, this is Joel Silver. I feel like there was a run where it was like one company making all the black movies and DMX was in 20 of them.
Well, like, well, this director did three of them. He did this, Exit Wounds, and Cradle to the Grave. Same director. Okay. Anthony Anderson was in all three of those movies as well.
That's right. Like, Anthony Anderson was in this.
DMX and Anthony Anderson. It's not like they were even a butt. I think only one of them do they know each other, and all the others, they're like,
we're just doing it.
Yeah.
He's so crazy. He plays Trish, Aaliyah calls him moron, but his name is
right.
Yo. You forget Anthony's been around for so long, man. I used to watch a show when I was younger, like they always had like they had like the teen hour or something like on after Saved by the Bell, and he was on a show called Hoops or something like that where he played a high school basketball player, but he was like the chunky one everyone made fun of.
Snap.
Almost just like this movie.
Wait, hold up. I gotta look
it was like
up.
Hoops or something. It was something I don't know. I gotta look it up, but it's funny seeing him go from that to being
Anthony. Yeah, because he was the comedian. I mean, I guess he still does. I mean, obviously Black's just comedy. But like, yeah, it's a different, he was always like the side character, and it's cool to like see him now, you know, starring in this like super famous sitcom.
With his Emmy nom.
So real quick, for if you haven't seen the movie, the basic kind of plot, I know it's I don't know why you wouldn't have haven't seen it, but the basic kind of plot line is so this says an avenging cop. I know that they like talk about Han being like a police officer, but it's really just a guy who broke out of jail in Hong Kong, and he comes back, finds out his brother is killed. So he's like trying to look.
Are you doing DMX? I have to address this.
I'm thinking that too.
His ad libs are so fun. I'm sorry.
Come out!
Come on! It's just like, sorry. Go ahead, John. Go ahead, John. I don't want to interrupt.
Anyway, he's looking for his brother's killer, and there's also this kind of seeming build up to a gang war happening between the blacks and the Asians. There's a black gang and an Asian gang, and Aaliyah is the daughter of like the black kind of kingpin, and so she's in danger as well. I mean that's the plot, right? I don't know.
Oh yeah.
And then there's a romance that's building up between them. Hence the name Romeo, even though. No one actually calls him Romeo until like the one line in the movie where they say
he says Romeo must die.
Romeo, that you gotta die.
Yo.
Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood is sponsored by BetterHelp. Guys, I just had a job end, which, you know, I was very fortunate to have, but it's so funny how quickly stress starts to accumulate. When you're not working,
it's too much. It's too much. It's heavy.
You know,
I got the shakes, and you know the heart palpitations, all of it.
I agree. I will say I've had the benefit of not being unemployed this long since 2009, and what are we in April? Soon to be May, and I have not had a paycheck all of 2024. So this is the most stress I've ever had. My parents may need to get an aide, and I'm like, who's coming to save the day? So stress is high. Anxiety is high.
And, you know, sometimes to talk about this stress, therapy can be a safe space. Like, get that stuff off your chest, figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down, you know, instead of just keeping it all bottled up and feeling like you have to hold everything inside. I know therapy has helped me. I almost look at it as like check-in, like, sometimes I got a lot to say, sometimes not so much, but it's like, it is super, super helpful.
Yeah. I appreciate getting the tools to like kind of understand the mechanism of how I'm behaving, you know, and reacting in certain situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I use BetterHelp, and Timothy, black male therapist, saves the day because he gets it, man. I'm like, you know what? Thank you, bro. But sometimes it's just 30 minutes of just me rambling. And I'm like, oh, you didn't even say hello yet. and he's like, keep going. I'm like, thank you. Yes.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient and flexible. It's suited to your schedule, which is absolutely essential these days. All you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and you can get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you want, switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/jump today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/jump.
You gotta jump to get that BetterHelp. BetterHelp!
So, you open Google Chrome on your phone, you're hunting for a super rare first edition vinyl of a band you're obsessed with, when you're supposed to be working. But this site you tapped on seems pretty shady. And Daryl from IT just jumped up from his desk. Oh no, he's coming your way. It's a good thing built-in malware protection keeps you safe and sound. Not from Daryl, though. Sorry. There's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
Hi, this is Will Arnett. We are inviting you to follow us as we go on tour and we take our podcast Smartless on the road. Join us and watch any boundaries we previously had disappear. Like you've never seen us before, you'll see us on the road ordering lunch, roasting each other, and on stage as we surprise each other with a mystery celebrity guest in each city. Boy, that sounds amazing.
Welcome to Smartless!
Don't miss our new series, Smartless on the Road, streaming May 23rd, only on Max. Subscription required.
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or five-star hotels for two-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, because for, anyway, well, let's talk about initial thoughts, like, or, yeah, what this film kind of means to you. Do you want to start us off, Maya?
For me, I was like, you know what? Aaliyah's in this. I'm about to watch it like 20 times. So, you know, that was my reason for watching it. And she did good. Like, you know, it was looking back at it, you know, because I was a kid at that time. So, you know, I didn't know anything about critiquing a film. But looking back at it, she was very natural in it. And it seems she was a little bit spicier than what she is in her interviews, but that same Aaliyah style was in the character. So,
right. Yeah, absolutely.
I used to love this movie. I had the soundtrack, which I listened to this morning. I had the DVD, cause I love martial arts movies. So I was a big fan of Jet Li, but then also, and this is very embarrassing, I probably said this before, I used to try to date girls who look like either Aaliyah or Maya growing up. It wasn't on purpose, but now that I'm an adult, I can see.
I love them both.
Specifically, you were like, all right, where is the Aaliyah? Yeah. Where
it wasn't on purpose, but it was like, when I look back, I'm like, oh, this is definitely what Young Dra was in love with. So I was all about this movie. Watching it now, though, you know, there were parts where I was like, Jet Li can fight so well, so why are we doing these weird, like, why do they have this, like, why did this wire work cap like this one point? I was like, this, what, why did we pick where we were having wire work and why was it necessary? But anyway, I still enjoy it, but there's a certain part, so I'm like, this is interesting, and I don't know if I like this part or the bones breaking, like the Mortal Kombat style.
That was
still love Aaliyah. Delroy is great. I'm here for it. And I do think Isaiah Washington was really fun because he was just so swarmy the whole time. I was like, you were so good at this, dude. Anyway, I still dig it.
Yeah.
He's always been a villain.
Right? just even when he's a good guy, he's still bad. Like, I watched the early season of Grey's Anatomy. I'm like, you're supposed to be a doctor, but I still don't like you.
Like, something's up with this dude. Yeah, I don't trust him.
Don't let this doctor near your kids. Like, I just don't like this dude.
I love the soundtrack too. Yeah. And speaking of Maya, I love Maya too. Like, she's independent now. I think like she does her music on her own now. Wow. But I got all of it. I support her.
I saw Maya once. I'm gonna let James John, I'm gonna let y'all go, but I got to the story. I was in Times Square and the job I used to work at would always go to a barbecue place, like in Times Square every Friday night, and we went. And one person was like, that looks like Maya. And she looked up and like did a wave. And I was young and dumb. And I was like, that's Maya. and she quickly put her head back down. And I was like, oh, snap. Maya's just out here having barbecue like the rest of us. I think she's a vegan now. But she is, right? Yeah, that was like 10 years ago now. Lord.
I was in love with her when she was like, it's after midnight and she's on your phone. Because she's all alone. Love. That was my song.
Oh my gosh.
I remember that just dancing in the desert. just like,
yes, that's what right. Oh man.
Well, I loved this movie as well. Come on, are you kidding me? I was in the theater while DMX came out. I was screaming at him, "Hey yo!" You know, like I was doing all of that. I had the soundtrack, played it all the time. Every single song was like important and meant so much. It made me mad then, and still makes me mad now. That it's a pseudo relationship and not a real relationship. Like it wasn't, they just call him Romeo and it's kind of out of nowhere. Like, yes, they're like sweet to each other. And like, yes, at the end, Aaliyah caresses his cheek, but they don't have a kiss. There's no real.
It's a very subtle romance. It's
like, and they straight up call him Romeo. Like, Romeo and Juliet kill each other for each other. That's how deep their love went. This was like he's nice. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't have, and it made me mad then, and it still makes me mad. It still makes me mad now. On rewatch, it was funny to me as a kid, but now on rewatch, it is so funny how amazing a fighter Jet Li is and how like the hood dudes like don't even, like so, sometimes it'll be like one of them will be a martial artist but for like no reason but then the rest of the times it's like we're seeing a martial artist and I think that's part of the charm or the appeal of it, like versus like kind of like street fighting essentially, and like, you know, we'll see, like, it'll take, like, three dudes to try to take him down, but he's still, like, he can still overpower them. There's some fun stuff to that. And then I think it stood out to me way more this time around that it was, like, why did the Chinese people have to be the big bads? Like, did it have to? There was, like, one bad black dude, but then... all of the Chinese people were like bad and was like, did they all have to be bad?
I wish they teamed up and like got after the rich white dude. I was like, that's like watching it now. I was like, yeah, like Han, everybody just come break in. Now they all whoop his ass and his friends. Like,
yeah,
it should have been good to have a team up.
Yeah. But I mean, obviously the movie is super fun and was super into it.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually had never seen this movie. I mean, Maya, just so you know, I grew up in a very religious household, and we did not watch. I was not allowed to watch R-rated films. So I talk about this a lot when we talk about older films that are R-rated. Didn't see any of them, so I didn't see Romeo Must Die when it came out. So this is my first time seeing it, and You know, I was definitely feeling some of that weird, some of that interesting, like, you know, wire working stuff was strange, especially because this is only like
I feel like this is Jet Li's first American movie where he's like the lead. And
yeah, it is.
And so it was like, it was almost like they didn't trust him and his skills to like do the thing. And they're like, no, we got to do these, this wire work stuff. But Aaliyah is incredible in this movie. Mm-hmm. And she has like, I think like when I was saying like that, her essence like pours out of her and you're like, you just can't help but be like, man, like she's great. And I liked the kind of connection that these two made because it wasn't chemistry at first, right? It was like, they both kind of didn't even recognize each other. They were like, oh, like it was like kind of interesting. And they make little jokes to each other, but neither of them think they're ever going to see each other again. So, you know, it would kind of went away and then they come back. But I feel like the movie, because it was more focused on the action than it was the romance, doesn't really like build it as much as it could. But it's still super fun. And I feel like when I was a kid, I would have loved this. Like if I, or like in middle school or high school or whatever we were. So that stuff was fun. I do think the CGI of like when they like do the x-ray and it's like the bone cracks or like the thing pierces through the slate. I was like, what? It's so funny that there was like a time when people were like, they were like, this will be cool. Like we can do this now. And I don't know, maybe it was cool. I don't know if you guys remember when you saw it.
It was cool. It like was really cool. But then I think it was weird because they like only do it twice. It's like, you know what I mean? Like it's not like it's not like it's a big part of the movie. It's like just a couple times when Jet Li kicks somebody, we're going to see what it does internally, you know, like, but it was still like cool. You know, like it was, I don't know. It was still fun.
Yeah. But like we go through it, movie kind of starts off with, does it start off with him? No, it doesn't start off with him in prison. It starts off with like,
no, I think it starts in the club. It starts in DMX's club.
Oh, right. The DMX club.
The brother in the club. And the whole thing about the brother in the club that's so weird is like DMX just comes out with an automatic gun, like an AK-47 or something like that, and just walks out.
Yeah.
Like, what you doing, DMX?
We have to address what happens before DMX comes out with that machine gun because, I'm not going to talk about plot, but why did specifically a dude with a Jerry curl and afro and dreadlock? It was like three dudes with very specific black hairstyles.
Because they black, James. They had to prove this was the black club. And it's like, if you're in the black club, all right, you got to have a Jerry curl. Mm-hmm. You gotta have an afro.
They were like different archetypes of black people, and they like all jumped up on the Asian dude.
To get beat. But it's funny because I was thinking, like, has there been a movie recently that has not even recently, but I guess in the last 20, 25 years that's had like the leads are like black and Asian in the movie? So I feel like you'll see movies where it's like black people and like white people, or you'll see like Matt Damon movie where it was like white people and then Asian actors, you know, but I feel like we rarely get to see black and Asian actually starring together.
Yeah, I mean, Rush Hour was 98.
Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah, yeah, Last Jedi. Yeah, yeah.
No, Kelly Marie Tran and John Boyega had a romance. Or at least kind of.
But he means the lead. He's saying the lead actors.
The lead leads. Yeah.
Yeah, he's saying the
lead. I guess the Rush Hour, obviously. The Rush Hour.
Right.
Franchise.
But that was before this. That was 2 years before this. And then its sequel to the second one came out the year after this came out.
Oh, interesting. This was a period of time where I don't know about you three, but like I'm pretty sure my dad was like took some martial arts classes and like was one of those, like there is this like not this this I think pretty large subset of black culture that's like really fascinated with like martial arts and like karate and like these types of movies, and And so, like, that's what I was thinking about when this started, was like, there is this like weird competition between the black and Asian men, and they're like facing off, and they want to like, they're like, all right. And then that's the reason that three of them just randomly know karate. Like, I just was like, all right.
Yeah.
You know,
hey, bro, like, I signed up for karate. I was in like, I had Taekwondo. I tried to find a drunken, what was it called? I had saw a Jackie Chan movie, like Drunken Masters or something.
Legend of the Drunken Masters.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, I want a drunk fight. And, like, I actually, like, my mom actually helped me look for it in like the Yellow Pages, but couldn't find it.
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't know. There is this like weird tension sometimes between Asian and Black communities. Like, it's weird. It's like in this movie, it's like it's because they are a part of different gangs. But there is something like when like DMX was like, "All right, if you ain't Black, get out of this club." You know that?
Yeah.
I was just like, "Oh, that's right." There was the movie doesn't explore why or like talk about that at all. It's just present.
Yeah, yeah. It's very present. And it ends up going deeper than, like, my thought is like, oh yeah, there's in this movie, there's like the drug rivalry or the sort of crime boss sort of rivalry that happens there. But it kind of goes a little bit deeper than that. It kind of just is sort of an interracial kind of like conflict that they're like, we're not gonna, we don't have
one
time.
Guy says it at the end to. And, well, not at the end, but later on to Jet Li when he's like, they own half of the waterfront. We own the other half.
Right.
So it was
right.
Just inevitable. And I'm like, so that's it? Y'all, it is not inevitable. You could actually have teamed up. Which is also funny is that thinking about this and people getting pushed out, I know we're not a political podcast. It's funny because in LA right now, they are forcing people of color out to move the Rams stadium. So it's like, huh. Who knew?
Hey, so who had 30 minutes on We're Not a Political Podcast? 30 minutes? Who had 30?
No, this is not political. I'm just saying. I'm just saying, we're not political, but it's just interesting that, like, this whole thing is, like, this rich white dude trying to, like, take over this waterfront to put his vision of NFL stadium, and now that is almost exactly what is happening, minus the waterfront, but the inner cities of South Central cities of California.
This also stuck out at me. The last name of the Black family in this is O'Day, which is an Irish surname. And I was like, oh, was this script originally like some like mob like crime movie that they've repurposed for to now make like, oh yeah, it'll be like Chinese versus Black people. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. But so then we is it and then after this too, no, I feel like it's a while before we even meet Jet Li. Because that was
it
what
is.
I never saw this movie, and then I was like, I thought Jet Li was like the main, and I think he is kind of. It's like his story, but it concentrates a lot on everything else that's happening. Like, because I think we meet Aaliyah first. Right?
We meet Aaliyah first.
She came in much later.
she came in, she was like the
prison.
That's right, he came in, yeah, exactly.
Oh,
in fact, when he came in I was like, who is this guy?
It was like 15 minutes in.
It's like now we're in Hong Kong, and I was like, Hong Kong, like what does this have to do with what I just saw in that club? Like,
but wait, so wait, because I
see
literally
the dude,
just
we see
watched
the guy,
this.
We see the guy die, the son who we saw in the beginning of the club. Then all of a sudden we see him hanging. You know, there is like that meeting between the Black leader and the Asian leader. And then we also see Aaliyah because they're like, hey, you got to go protect my daughter. And like that's when we meet Aaliyah. And then finally we see like Jet Li. Just in some prison in Hong Kong. And I feel like it takes a real long while before the movie tells you that Jet Li is like brother of the guy who just died. You know what I mean? Like, we don't learn that until I feel like 30 minutes into the movie.
You don't learn it until he finally goes to visit the funeral. You know what I mean? And then also, it's funny because they do mention he was a cop, which serves zero purpose with this entire movie. Like, what is it? What does it matter that he's a cop? The one thing I can say is
It doesn't matter at all because
it doesn't. It's like, it means nothing.
In Rush Hour, it mattered.
I think it's a product of the times, though, too. Like, they made him a cop so that we can know that, like, he's not
a good guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's not like the criminals that the rest of his family has sort of come to be. You know, like I think to show that he's an outsider within the family.
I do have one fault. One fault in the scene, our Leia intro scene, and I knew a white dude directed the scene because in the scene, you know, Leia's dancing with the kids and she's like, let's show them what we got. And she does like a two-step. And I'm like, first off, we all know Aaliyah is one of the originators of choreography. Okay? You ain't gonna have her do no bum-ass two-step to this whack music. You play a dope track and you have Aaliyah do a goddamn move.
I actually liked this because it was, they were just like at like a house party. So they were doing like, it felt like they were doing like a line dance. Like, it was like, this is actually a little more authentic than most like mid-movie dance numbers. It was like, just kind of like a, hey, what's up, family? Like, this is how it go.
I got some moves, but sometimes I conserve them when I'm, you know what I mean? It's not the right time, the space. I'm like, you guys aren't ready for, you know, what I can do on the dance floor, you know? So I get it. That's what, you know, I'm with Aaliyah. I get what
you're saying. What is this? What? You got dance moves?
No, I know. You know what I'm talking about, right? Like, you know, you get some, you know, it's like sometimes you can serve, you can dance or you can like, you know, you're like, I can blow you all away right now, but I'm not going to do it right now because it just doesn't feel right. You guys aren't really ready for it.
Don't get it.
No. Okay. All right.
I'm
know
so
what?
Happy you waited for that. This is great. I love this. Yes. Yes. Wait, well, hold
okay.
on. Like, legit, let's just skip to when they start fighting because that's what I really cared about. The scene where what's the bad guy's name? James, like the younger one.
Who's the
one.
Bad guy? Because there's like five.
Yeah, but you mean
Isaiah Washington's
Kai.
Character?
No,
right.
The guy who fights Jet
Kai.
Kai. I love that when they start saying what's up, my man just throws a water bottle and then just hits him immediately, and they just start sparring for no reason.
I like that. I thought that was, you know, there was something. There was something about that I was like, yeah, they grew up probably sparring together, and there was like, they're like kind of smiling throughout it, and like Jet Li smiling, and I was like, yeah, man, like this, I don't know, there was something about that like, like really made me care about these two relationships, and I knew it was like kind of just obvious that that guy was going to be a bad guy ultimately, just the way that the movie was set up, and there was a part of me that like after that scene, I was like, man, this sucks. He's gonna have to like face off against his friend.
You know? Yeah,
I felt sad.
Movie a lot. I mean, there were some movies that I was thinking about talking about too, but okay, I thought about Precious because Monique's performance in that film. Like, I've watched it a numerous amount of times, and in the beginning, I'm like, oh my god, this is so sad. Which it is sad. But then thinking about Monique as a comedian and then looking at the stuff that she's saying here, it's like, oh my God, bitch, I can't take you serious. You're too hilarious. Like, I want to talk about that one. Then I thought about like the Fridays, which were kind of in this generation of, you know, films.
Yeah.
I love those, and I also loved The Players Club. It's like anything that Ice Cube is in, like, I just adore him. And then also Straight Outta Compton. I actually got to meet O'Shea Jackson at the Governor's Awards, which, mind you, we were both born in 91, and we were both there to just for our first films. So... And he's so fine. Oh my God. But
awesome. I'm because I'm like, when I hear him talk, I'm like, yo, you just sound like a mini Ice Cube. Like him and John David, like if you close your eyes, they just sound like the dad to me.
It's so funny to me in what's that movie that he's the Charlize Theron,
The Long Shot.
The Long Shot. When when O'Shea Jr. shows up in that, it's so funny because it's like, this honestly, this part would have gone to Ice Cube like 10 years ago. You know what I
yes.
mean? Like, it was such yes. a like, it, just the part was just like, this is an Ice Cube part that they were like, but isn't this amazing? We have young Ice Cube. Like, we got little Ice Cube.
No, don't call him that. That's
he's not little Ice Cube. I mean, you know, he's his own man, but it's just.
First off, if your dad is Ice Cube, there's nothing wrong with being Lil Cube. Okay.
I know.
Legit, Lil Cube, you can call me like Jaden will always be Baby Smith because your dad's Will, you're great, Jada. And John David, come on, man. Call me Baby Denzel all day. All day. I'm going to wear a t-shirt saying my daddy is.
I would honestly be honored. I would be honored to call
respect
it
me.
To be little any one of those guys.
Respect me.
Can you imagine being Lil Samuel L. Jackson?
Oh, I'm cursing all the time for no reason. I'm going to just curse people. This is what my daddy told me.
Actually, Samuel L. Jackson was at the Governor's Awards that year, too. I got to meet Will Smith, too.
What?
Yeah, and what's his name? He's in the movie with Beyonce, Obsessed.
Oh, Idris?
No, Idris. Okay. Yep. I was thinking it was the other dude.
Hugging him felt like I was hugging a brick wall.
That's great. Man, you met Will, Sam.
Who else was there? What's his name from Blade?
Wesley?
Wesley Snipes was there, too. He's not really tall in person.
Some of them don't be.
Yeah.
Jamie's not that tall.
Yeah, they'd be. Camera angles be helping Wesley out.
And our James Bond. Why can't I think of these people's names?
Daniel Craig. This is fun for me. This is great.
Yeah.
Oh.
See, this is what I love about camera angles. I'm short as hell, but if you aimed it right, I could be as tall as Braylock. So I'm like Braylock tall. I'm 6'3",
but
baby.
Not if you in a scene with Bray, unless you stepping on an Apple box.
James, why are you telling the secrets?
The camera angle can make you look tall, but you can't say that you're 6'3", because you're not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever.
That's incredible. Yeah. I think the thing about Romeo Must Die is like it's like concentrated on this. There's this thing that where they're like trying to buy the property to sell it to the NFL. That the NFL could, I guess, have a new arena or something like that.
Which I didn't remember at all. Like, I was what is this whole?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But I feel like so much of the movie is dedicated to reminding you, like, that's what the plot of this movie is. And I was just like, every time it happened, I was like, who's this white guy?
Yeah, every time they cut to that white boy, I was like, I don't, what? let's get back.
I don't know if you guys remember that scene where they're like, he turns to this white dude. He was like, what's the common phrase today? And the guy's like, cheddar.
Yeah.
And then he like goes like this. And you're just like, oh my goodness, this was that time where like it was like real fun for like white people to say like really old, you know, black slang. So he, you know, and then like later on he got to say it back to him. But
I'll say, I love every time Jet Li said, brother, loved it.
Applause. So brother?
It was amazing.
What about the football scene?
That's my favorite scene. The football scene is my favorite scene. Okay, so I'll take everybody through the football scene for those of you who don't remember the football scene. So Jet Li has already kicked the crap out of Anthony Anderson and all of his cronies. Then he's like, okay, I'm just going to follow up with Aaliyah and see if she knows anything, if she's been able to actually talk to her brother to figure out what happened to my brother. And he goes there. While he's there, Isaiah Washington and Anthony Anderson and all of his cronies, they're all playing football at the time, and they're trying to be cordial. So they're like, hey, we need a third man, another man, a fifth man, or whatever it is. And they grab him. And they keep, he doesn't know how to play football. They tackle him a million times.
He keeps saying, like, why am I the only one getting hit?
And they go, because you're the one with the ball. And so
you're the
then,
one with the ball.
So then for one, there is one play where he's like, cool. And he just makes sure everyone else gets the ball so he can kick the crap out of them. Yeah. I love that. I don't care if it's the corniest thing you've ever heard. I love that. And every time Anthony Anderson had the ball, he wanted to get it out of his hands. And Jet Li would just leap. He would leap and kick them. Ugh.
Well, there was a literal time where he throws the ball and then like in the air. I think a couple of times in this movie, he had the ability to like jump in the air and like run around like a Looney Tunes cartoon and like kick everyone in a circle. Like,
didn't make any sense. It didn't make any sense, but it was amazing. It was really fantastic.
It was fun. It was really, yeah. It was really silly. They're
telling me I'm looking ass.
There was a scene that was kind of real. It was so subtle, but I actually thought it was so real in displaying, not, I guess, partly toxic masculinity, but like also just like how pain is transferred or how violence can be transferred. They had the scene where Anthony Anderson and Aaliyah, or they're in the what do you call it, with Isaiah Washington. Aaliyah, Isaiah Washington, they're in the restaurant. Anthony Anderson's kind of away looking back. And like Isaiah Washington like is like talking to Aaliyah, and I guess he likes her too. And he's like kind of talking, and she's like, I would, you know, you're my dad's errand boy. And like basically kind of embarrasses him, disrespects him, or he feels disrespected. And so he like slams the table and then he walks away, and Anthony Anderson makes a joke like, man, you're not so great at talking to the ladies. And so Isaiah Washington slaps him. And then when he walks away, Anthony Anderson then slams the bar and he's like, where's my drink? And it was like, it was kind of played for comedy, but to me, I was like, man, this is so real, right? Like when people are, when they feel like, yeah, they're embarrassed and then like they're powerless, you know, then they go and they take it out on this aggression that they have out on other people. And it's like a really clear way of kind of showing that. We talked about this a little bit when we talked about Fences, but like how, you know, Black men can take the oppression that they're feeling from white men, but then transfer that over onto Black women. You know what I mean? Like it just, and it can be this like chain of like, you know, people who are less, who are more and more marginalized get the kind of brunt of all of the powerlessness and embarrassment or whatever you want to say that people are feeling, and then it's taken out on them, even though it has nothing really to do with them. I don't know. That's a lot to glean from that one moment.
No, but even still, like, it sort of makes sense, especially in especially that it's Anthony Anderson's character, because he then goes on to like I think the last time we see him, he's like supposed to just capture Jet Li and bring him back without killing him, but then he feels like, what, the second he gets upset, I don't remember what it is, like Jet Li kicks him or he somehow gets away, but he's like, you know what, kill him. Like he just,
right,
he like wants to kill him now, you know. And yeah, it's like his one instance of like trying to regain some kind of power. Or honestly, I think that's very astute, Ray.
You hear that, Jarrah? It was very astute.
why are you doing this? Why are you trying to be shady about it? Like, why are you...
No, just say, I was just pointing out what James said to me. It was nice.
I mean, that's because James feels bad that you finally have gotten shaded on the podcast. So he's just trying to make you feel better about yourself.
Listen, all we right. don't need to say how the sausage gets made. We can just... All right. That's my new catchphrase. Has anyone noticed? This is my second time saying it on the podcast.
Also, anyway. I don't know how...
Did not notice that.
Yeah, but I'm gonna call it out each time in hopes that by the fifth or sixth time, people will know it's my catchphrase. How the sausage gets made.
No.
Did you guys, I feel like a couple other scenes we could talk about. The one was when Jet Li uses Aaliyah to fight the
That's my Chinese favorite woman. Scene.
That's my second favorite scene.
That's my favorite scene. One,
because he's like, I can't hit a woman.
Yeah, I love that scene. Also, I think, I hope this isn't weird, but it's like, also, I just love this outfit on Aaliyah too. It's like, yo, she looks so cool and so hip hop, but yet so like, everything looks, I was so in for this scene. Also, the actress they were fighting, I feel like I've seen in other movies. I was like, the line, "You're Asian." No shit. And then she went back to like punch him.
But the level, the how graceful Aaliyah is in this scene,
I just or like her body double, because I would have been mad.
Yeah. Like there was never a moment where she accidentally took a punch. Like
right.
She always like was able to maneuver. Oh, I loved this scene.
Yeah.
It was almost like it was almost like a dance. Like it was like a they were like, you know, he like spun her around and was like
it
that
really
and then
was.
Used her like to kick her.
It's the best example. I mean, honestly, as I was watching this, I was like, I really feel like this is the best example of the like besides like Ghost, you know, like when Patrick Swayze goes and they make the pottery. But like mm-hmm. the best example of like, you know, you put your arms like this, like, oh, show me, how do I play golf? I don't know. You know, like that. Like it was the best example of that. She was so graceful and she was like, listen, just kick her ass. Like, I don't know how it is in China, but if a girl is kicking your ass, you can go like it was. I don't know. I loved that scene.
Yeah.
And that's how they find out that, like, you know, wait a minute, this war that seems to be building up is a fake war. You know, like the Chinese people are killing their own, and the black people. And then I don't think they realize that the black people are killing their own just quite yet. But we find that out pretty soon after, and it was kind of clear. That was wild, that them getting thrown out of that building, by the way.
Yo.
Oh, Colin.
Yeah. And I didn't understand why at first, because I was like, what is... Because it made it seem like Colin was connected to the brother who died in the beginning, the Asian brother who died in the beginning, and I actually didn't even understand. Did you guys catch... Why were they calling each other?
I don't know. You know, still to this day...
Yeah. Oh, right. Because
it's just a mystery.
Well, but he does say, like, I think in that same scene, we don't know what his new ideas are, but in that same scene, we hear that like he has new ideas for what the next stage of, and maybe it is unity. Like maybe it is like what if we connected and like we squash this beef or whatever. But that would then, I don't know if this, none of this is in the movie, but that would then jeopardize, you know, as what Isaiah Washington's plan is, which is like, I want to rule the streets myself or whatever, whatever it actually was.
But yeah, then they kind of have the face-offs. I mean, I don't know. I feel like, when the brother dies and Aaliyah talks to her father, it's like it's hard to not feel bad for him, but I had to keep reminding myself that like she was 100% right. You know what I mean? Like the father like put his son in this business that is so dangerous. And even though he was trying to get out of it, you know, you still kind of feel for it, but I don't know. There was something about the tragedy of that whole situation that felt terrible. But she was like, she like told, like, you know, he's mourning his son's death, and she was like, you're also responsible for his death.
Yeah. And like she, and he doesn't really get a ton of time to even address this or reconcile it or right. But it's a nice sort of touch to be like, the crime is there, and like there are good people and there are bad people, but it's also there's the blur to it too, you know, like would they all have been in it, you know, like, or, you know, or is he responsible for it, or how much of it is on him, you know. Yeah, yeah. Like, because I love that she's like you did this, and he's like, what do you want me to say? Like, well, what do you want me to say?
He did do it, though. You got your son killed, yo. Like, that's a terrible father thing to do. Also, how come she had security, but he had no security? Or was the dude supposed to be his security, and he just like...
Yeah, I think ultimately it's that the betrayal went deeper than he... Like, he didn't know how deep the betrayal went. And also, his
Can we talk about how dumb Isaiah Washington's dude was? Like, wouldn't you want to, like, I feel like you're so small-minded. It's like, yo, you should want to be an owner. My man is saying he's taking you with him. It's not like he's saying, it's for me and my family. It's like, no, you with us too. We all about to be in the owner's box. You messing the money up for everybody.
That's how it
is. Yeah. I feel like this is that thing is in the wire as well. This, like, there are certain people in it. They're like, hey, like, let's try to go legit. Like, let's, you know, let's think bigger. And there's other people who are like, what are you talking about? Like, this is what I know. This is what I know how to do. I just want to win at the game that I'm playing, not like start a new game. But yeah, it was that was, I love that Aaliyah was the one who actually took Isaiah Washington out. It's kind of cool.
Heck yeah, man. I was like, shoot that dude. Shoot him two times in his leather. Was that a gator outfit he had on?
Shoot him in the face. And like Isaiah Washington after he gets shot. Wait, didn't he say like that was cold blooded? Like,
yeah, and then he was about to shoot her again, and she was like, double tap. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Double tap. See, this is my thing about movies. I'm so happy because if he wouldn't have raised up his arm, she wouldn't have double tapped him. Then they would have walked off and somebody would have got shot in the back. But you double tap, all right? Every movie, bad guy, double tap. That's all I'm saying. Oh, and then we got that dope fight. Also, did anyone else notice that Jet Li was having shoot fights in khakis? Yeah. Like, his whole fight was in a pair of khakis. And I was like, yo, my man, he got on the Gap special trying to save the world. I was like, come on. Come on, Jet. Come on, Jet.
Oh, man. Yeah. And then he winds up facing off against his friend.
I gotta say, that trailer shot when he... steps through the flame, woo, baby! You know what's going down when he stepped. When the flame,
it made no sense. I was like, "Why is this an action shot? I don't understand." Just that he's gonna keep fighting.
Yes, it was so. Okay. And he wraps his arms.
Wraps his hands. Woo! He's got to. Yeah, burned his hands. Oof, that was painful. Watch.
A try again video.
I think he is in it. I think he's like, it's not just clips from the movie. He's like in the video.
Yes.
Yeah, he defeats him by, I guess, breaking his entire spine. That's what the
CGI... Yes, he kicks his head into his spine. Yeah. And then that causes a ripple effect through the whole spine, and it's really cool.
Oh man, yeah. And then he goes to his father. He's like, I've already avenged my brother's death. And his father at first picks up the gun. You're like, oh shoot, is he about to kill his other son? But he kills himself.
And then Aaliyah and Jet Li just walk off into the night together.
Yeah. So are they together? What do we think?
What you think?
I don't think he's tall enough.
Hilarious.
No, but see, if they put him on an Apple box, then he's standing at a height that's, you know.
I gotta say, they did not use enough apple boxes in this film because you could definitely tell that Jet Li was kind of shorter. There was a part of me one time, like, and I watched Jet Li movies, and I think Jet Li is great, like, is a great actor. But there was a part of me watching this movie that was like, wait, why isn't the bad guy the main hero? He seems like he's taller. And
Jet Li.
Yeah.
How tall is he?
Let's see. I don't know.
He is 5'6".
Like, what, 5'7" or
5'8"? Yeah, 5'6".
Yeah, that other dude, what's his name? Is this guy's name Henry O? Oh, no, Russell.
Yeah, oh, it's yeah. Russell. Russell's plays Kai.
Y'all know what, since we're on this podcast, and you know millions of people watch all this stuff, I do go ahead and say, download B7 Brandy's new album because I have to support Brandy because you left my baby. So yeah, download it. It's the best. Like it's yes. hot.
And I was thinking that I was thinking about Brandy while watching this because I mean Brandy obviously is also an actor, and I believe was acting before the music. But correct me if I'm wrong. If anybody knows specifically,
no.
That's not she music came out first and then acting. Okay,
yeah, because then they picked her. Because of the music for Moesha.
Right, right.
That's how I know Brandy.
Yes. Okay.
Listen, I was a Brandy. I was in love with Brandy. When they were like the whole Brandy and Monica, I was like, listen, I don't wanna have to choose between. But Brandy was Cinderella. She was Moesha. She was sitting on top of the world. You know what I mean? Like there was no like she wanted to be down. She had hits, yo. Hits.
I just realized that like every like young black I guess actor and singer, like they were all like actors and singers. Like
yes.
Brandy,
and
Aaliyah,
I'm thinking of
like, even Tatiana.
You guys remember
Ali
the show
started,
Thea? Yeah. That's what I was thinking. I was thinking of Thea, which her album came out and then Thea came out, which I think mm-hmm. you know, I think there was like the tiniest bit of overlap there. But the reason that I bring her up is it wasn't like they were like Brandy straight to lead right away. Whereas like Aaliyah, it was like, here's a lead role in a movie, you know, like a relatively large part in this film. And it, like, she, like, honestly, I feel like she was about to be the actor, like the go-to, you know, like it really felt like this was like huge.
Yeah, I didn't. There was something definitely special about Aaliyah, but you know, Aaliyah, she did drama. You know, when she was younger, she was preparing for, you know, doing film. Because Brandy was just the music, wow. And film just kind of came second to that. You
yeah.
know?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. You know, if I had listened to one voice for the rest of my life and delete everybody else out of my playlist, it would probably be Brandy.
Wow, that's deep.
Yeah, that's huge. That's major.
Deep. I mean, who would I go with? I mean, I think I would go with Sade. Just, I mean, I know we're not playing that game, but something smooth about Sade's voice.
Yeah.
Huh.
This is nice. Or Shantae Moore.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes. Man, who would I go for? Everybody has to go.
I know. I was like, I got no clue.
Everybody else has to go. I don't know if I can say just one person forever. But these are all good people. These are all
That's
good
tough.
People. It depends on what I need to rotate them in depending on what I need. Like if I need someone to motivate me to get stuff done, then I'm gonna have Sam Jackson just curse me out real quick.
That's not music.
That is music. His voice, like, if I need some, like, real empowerment, I'm going to have Barack Obama, like, sing Amazing Grace. You know, it's vibes for everybody. You know?
What you're talking about.
Yeah. I would probably have to go with a Mariah. I would have to go with Mariah because I feel like she, like, with each changing of time, she was like, cool. This is what I do. You know what I mean? Like she figured out, she was like, she kind of like moved with it.
Right.
You know, I would pick Mariah, but here's the thing. I'm also a singer.
Okay.
When I'm singing with my artist, sometimes Mariah leaves me behind and I don't know.
Respect, honestly, respect. Because yes, she will just do her thing.
Honestly, yeah.
We cannot forget about Tamar Braxton. Oh my God!
No, good for you for bringing up Tamar. I feel like Tamar don't get the respect she needs.
Nah, Tamar's voice is stunning. You know, and see, I can sing with Tamar because the color of Tamar's voice is a little bit darker than Mariah, so I can mm-hmm. follow her.
I love it. Oh man, I can't wait. I mean, oh wait, before we go, can I just say one quick thing to Hollywood? It's super quick. I am a person who loves like martial art movies, And I grew up watching, like, you know, whether it's the Bruce Lee movies or the Jackie Chan, like Rumble in the Bronx. But I miss the days when, like, we had like Bruce Leroy, you know, and it was like a black dude doing some kung fu and stuff like that. And I would just love if there was a movie that would come out Hollywood and just, you know, you can put black people and Asian people in movies together and we can both be the leads. And maybe, you know, if there is a big bad at the end, we can just team up and just whoop his ass. Kind of like one of those Jet Li movies, like, you know, Jet Li does one kick and then he spins in a circle. Then Aaliyah does another kick and then he spins in a circle. And then all of a sudden Jet Li does an uppercut. And then next thing you know, Aaliyah just ran up on a chair and did an elbow drop, tag team move, you know? You know, just craziness, you know? Like, it could be so cool. And it's like, oh, damn. See, that should tell y'all, stop trying to build these stadiums in the areas where minorities live and trying to push them out, you know? Because that's happening in real life. Ooh, you know what we should do? Okay, how about this? So in real life.
Damn, right? That is real.
In real life, let's get black martial artists.
I didn't even think about that. And I was just like, holy crap, what you just said is so real. They were trying to push minorities out of the neighborhood. They're blowing up barbershops.
Bruh, literally, in D.C. where I live, like, where they built the Nationals baseball stadium was an area that was populated by a lot of, like, low-income, like, black neighborhoods. There was a project there that was pretty famous because they always had, like, a basketball, Berry Farms, they had this basketball tournament every year, which everybody would show up. All of that got shut down, and those people got shipped out to I don't know where because the National Stadium came. Like, literally, if you look about what's happening in California right now, none of the Rams are building that stadium down there by Inglewood. A lot of people being pushed out of Inglewood. So what I'm saying is we should have, you know, black martial artists, Asian martial artists, all fight, okay, these rich white owners that keep trying to push the minorities out, all right, so they can just have, like, a tag team celebrity death battle for the neighborhood. Because they can't just, like, take the neighborhood over and blow up barbershops. You can't get a shape up if there's no barbershop. I want a shape up, okay? You know what? I took a tangent. I realized that the shape ups kind of threw things off.
Yeah, I was like,
you can't blow up the barbershop.
Is that as important as everything else?
You know, you know, the shape up might have went off him. I'm just saying, we should have a tag team to do that. That's all I'm saying.
All right, well.
All right.
The last podcast we did, somebody shat on my bit, so I'm not going to do anything.
At Kroger, we know the minute a tomato is picked off the vine, the fresh timer starts. The sooner we get our produce to you, the fresher it is. That's why we've completely overhauled our process to shorten the time from harvest to home for our tomatoes, strawberries, and salads. Because we know how much you love fresh produce, we give you more time to enjoy your tasty fruits and veggies at home. So whether you're shopping in-store, picking up, or prefer delivery, we're committed to bringing you the freshest produce possible. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week, we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week, and quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live.
What do you mean? They just said to bring back a bit, I thought.
Nope. Mm-mm. They were like, we don't like the bits that James does. I think that was the exact words. So I'm cool.
So you're just not going to do your segment at all? Listen, nah, you should figure out the name of that person and just name them every time you don't do it and be like, such and such told me not to do it.
No, you're not even naming. You're
supposed to name the name. Drag.
Well, I guess
drag,
it's time
drag.
For the cause. We name and review. We rate and review movies not based on whether or not we like
them. You just say no for John.
You can't just say the thing that I usually say.
Hilarious.
Anyway, right, it's time for the cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we like them, but whether or not they help the cause of more leading black actors in Hollywood. So if we feel a film fully helped the cause, we give it a black fist. If it somewhat helped the cause, we give it a white palm. And if we feel like, I don't know, it feels like this film didn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. So on the count of three. Yeah. Okay. You already know. We're going to do it.
Because, you know, because my love for Aaliyah, I feel like
if it hadn't been for her, like, I would have probably never been into music or acting, period. You know, I grew up just watching her. She was my go-to entertainer. And she's the reason why I fell into entertainment, period. You know, so, yeah. I'm going to give her a 10 out of 10.
Okay.
All right.
I gave it a fist because, one, I used to love, like, literally being in love with Aaliyah. But also because Jelly's always been one of my favorites, because he delivered the best line read I've ever heard in cinema, which is in this movie, The One. And he goes, "I'm Eulah, I'm nobody's bitch." And that's how the end of The One ends. And it's the greatest line read ever. So I'm here for it. And he throws someone off a mountain, like a mountain of hymns, trying to attack him in prison.
Oh, that's right. I mean, this movie is super important to me, you know, definitely gets a black fist for sincerely everyone in it, every actor in it, except for the white NFL dudes. It gets a black fist.
Yeah, I also get a black fist because, you know, it's not, I mean, Aaliyah and, you know, Isaiah Washington's in this and, Delroy, there's a lot of Anthony Anderson, so, and I'm sure it inspired a bunch of people. This is what the point of the cause is. It's not, film doesn't have to be perfect, you know. Were some of those, you know, CGI spine kicks a little strange? Yeah. But that doesn't
not in 2000.
Not in 2000.
It was like, oh shit. He dominoed his spine with a kick.
But Amaya, thank you again for doing this podcast. I know people can check out your new film that's coming out. Now, do we know, is that going to be like theatrical release plus VOD? It's just a weird time.
It's everywhere. Like, it's not in every theater. I know that it's online in many different sources. Don't even give me the line. But just look it up and you'll find it.
Excellent.
Awesome.
Yeah, so check out Stage Mother, guys. It'll be everywhere. And can people follow you on social?
I'm on Facebook a lot. I don't really do too much for Instagram. You know, I've never really, really been into social media. It's just not my type of thing.
Yeah.
Want to contact me or something? I look at all my messages on Facebook.
Honestly, awesome. That's so gracious. Because I do not be so looking true. At every message that somebody sends.
I sure don't.
Oh, that's awesome.
I be responding.
Gerard responds. Famously goes on and off. He says he's quitting social media and then he never does. He always, because, every, yeah, so
Gerard is constantly.
I don't like doing it, but that's where I find my news, because I don't have cable or anything like that, or like a way to, like, besides just going to like CNN. So I usually find my news from like Twitter or Instagram, but then I get sucked up into everything else.
Yeah, but can't you turn off DMs? Like, isn't that something you can do, or you could turn off
I'm
like
not famous
comments?
Enough for that.
All right.
I'm not famous enough. All right. You can follow the podcast at Black Men Podcast. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website. We're on Twitter and Instagram. And if you rate and review us and give us 5 stars, we'll read your review on the air. One second while I pull that up. You can follow me at John Braylock. This is my Twitter handle.
You can follow me at James Third Comedy, JamesThirdComedy.com. Third is 3RD. Haven't done the .com in a while. That was a while. Throwback.
And here, I'm going to read. Yeah, good job. Here, I'm going to read this review. This is by Your Winona. Finally found my people. Y'all deserve all the flowers. I love listening to movie, TV review podcasts, but I've gotten so goddamn tired They wrote it like this. So goddamn tired of listening to race blind takes on movies. Finally, I hear opinions and takes with such insight and thoughtfulness and nuance. I have found my people and I am so thankful for y'all. Thank you. That's so nice. Listened to your episode about Into the Spider-Verse. My heart is so full. Thank you. For as long as y'all keep talking to Hollywood, I am here for it. Your podcast gets all of the fists. That's really nice. Thank you. Thanks, guys, for listening. Maya, thanks again.
Maya, thank you.
Thank you so much for being here.
I love doing this.
So fun. All right, guys. We will see you next week. Peace.
Peace.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.
What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The ghost with the most past due child support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!